Hey, what's up? And welcome back to the Beta Escape Podcast. In this episode, I have a conversation with masturbator Mexican Gooner, and we talk all about the art of gooning, among other really great things. And I'm so happy to announce that the Beta Escape is officially on YouTube. Please head over to youtube.com and search the Beta Escape and enjoy the episodes. Thanks for listening, and thanks for watching. Hey, what's going on, everyone? It's your boy BC Bader, and today on the Bait Escape, I have a really great guest with me, all the way from Mexico. Are you in Mexico City?
Yes, I am in Mexico City.
So you're
Born
in
and raised. Yes.
the federal district.
Exactly.
That's fucking cool.
You
I've
know,
always
whenever.
wanted to go. What do you mean? No, I've always wanted to like go. The only places that I've been in Mexico have been Ensenada, which I feel like
Okay.
technically doesn't really count because I feel like it's too touristy. Am I wrong in saying that?
I mean, it counts. It's Mexico, but yeah, it's very close from the US, of course, and it's very touristy. But
Yeah.
yeah, the Mexico City is a total different vibe for sure. You should come. You will love it here. Where do you live, by the way?
I live in California. I'm in Los Angeles, which
Oh,
is
cool.
technically like another Mexico. It's like little Mexico City because there's a lot of like people. I
Right.
mean, my family, we migrated here to the States. But I've always had a fantasy of just going to Mexico and like living there and like really absorbing more of the culture and also to like not speaking English whatsoever. Like I just want to speak Spanish like the entire time that I'm there.
Yeah, well, you definitely should come. I mean, you're gonna have a blast here. It's like, well, the city's huge. There's a lot of things to do, delicious food, good prices. Yeah, it's really cool.
That's
Well,
so cool.
less and less. I mean, there's this like a wave of American digital nomads that are kind of invading the hip neighborhoods, and everything is so expensive there. Like, yeah, gentrification, it's like a huge problem right now. But I mean, that always
But
happens in huge
wait,
cities.
who's moving to Mexico?
Americans, like digital
Oh,
nomads, yeah,
what's a
like
digital nomad?
people that work on tech that doesn't have
Oh,
to
that's
go
it.
to an office, like you know, they do only
Oh, like remote workers.
remote workers. It's exactly.
Oh, that's so interesting. Why didn't I think of that? I could have been moving to Mexico and like work remotely.
Yeah, gentrify Mexico. No, I mean, you're of course welcome.
I feel like I'm more welcome than other people. Because I feel like I can get away with it. Like my roots are, so like my family is from Durango and Zacatecas.
Okay, so you're Norteño, let's say.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. But I had a friend that I work with in New York, and he's half Mexican, half, I want to say Danish. I think his mom was Mexican, his father was from Amsterdam. And he lived and worked in Mexico, and he would always tell me, but you would love it. Like it's a scene. And so like I always imagine Mexico to be like really rural and country. And I'm like, yeah, that's where your family's from. But like go to like Mexico. It's like a metropolis. It's like a city. It's like a little mini like New York. And I was like, that sounds more of my vibe.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I found a lot of like similarities with New York City for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Have
it's a very cool place
you been to New York
to
City?
live. Yes, several
Nice.
times.
Oh, cool. What were you doing out in New York?
You know, the usual museums, theater. I also like a little a ballet geek and opera. I do really like to go to the Lincoln Center when I'm there.
Oh, that's
It's
cool.
one of my happy places. I love New York. I mean, also club scene, like the gay scene, it's really nice.
Yeah. Is the gay scene better there than in Mexico? What's the gay scene like in Mexico?
I wouldn't say better, it's just different. I mean, also New York, it's like huge and has so many different vibes. You have like the Chelsea gays and the Brooklyn gays and the Latino community, the Latino queer community, which is also like a total different scene. I think here it's a little bit more homogeneous, or we have like two different kind of scenes, like something more bougie, like really expensive clubs, like really uptight type of gays, and then you have like a more stylish alternative scene.
What do you
But
consider yourself to be? What scene do you like better?
right now, neither, I think. Right now I really don't go too much to clubs and stuff. You know, I rather spend my time masturbating and doing some other activities. Yeah.
Speaking
But
about masturbation,
yeah.
okay. Well, I before our talk right now, I just got off the phone with someone from Vice, and they were doing research on like soul sexuality and asexuality and that whole spectrum. And so yeah, we were having a really cool convo about like what that means and how I discovered it and where that came to be. So this podcast focuses a lot about masturbation. When did masturbation become like a lifestyle for you? Had you always identified as homosexual? When did that really come to fruition for you?
I must said it was during the pandemic. Like, I live with my partner. I'm not only a solo sexual. Like, solo sexuality is a very important part of my sexual spectrum as a whole. But I also have a partner, and I love also have sex with my partner and other people. But I didn't. I started to explore this solo sexual side of myself more in the pandemic. You know, it was like a safe way to have I mean, yeah, like sexual encounters. I discovered this Zoom groups for the first time. I also discovered Bait World. I mean, I never before 2020, I hadn't the opportunity to really connect with myself in that way. Yeah, I didn't knew back then what edging was, for example, and once I discovered edging and I started to edge, it was game changing. And then I discovered gooning, and it was like mind blowing. And you know, it became like a very important thing for me. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people, well, not a lot of people, but I've talked to several people that the pandemic was a really great time for them to really start to focus on like more masturbation. And I feel like a lot of people discovered that part of themselves because we really didn't have any other choice. Like we had to like, you know, we had to like social distance and we had to like keep to ourselves. And so I think the pandemic provided also for me too. Like I can say that during the pandemic is when I really started to do more research on like soul sexuality, the beta community, gooning. It's when I first discovered that I could goon. But your title, your alias on Twitter is Mexican Gooner or Gooner Mexican.
It's Gunnar Mexican, but it is because Mexican Gunnar is already taken.
But I was so curious to know like you literally named yourself after Goon. How important is gooning to you? Do you always goon when you masturbate?
Not always. No, 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 no. No, not always. But it's something that I really like enjoy. So yeah, gooning is great.
Do you goon with your partner? Do your partner know that you goon?
Yeah, they know for sure that I do all this kind of stuff. I think they are my number one fan for sure. I
That's
mean,
awesome.
yeah, they doesn't identify as a beta themselves, but I think they can. They got it. Like they got it. What's the kink and what's the attractive on baiting, edging, and gooning? Yeah, for sure.
Do you all bait together? Is that like a thing that you share?
Yeah, we have done it a couple of times. I think they have no patience for edging and that kind of stuff. So yeah, I can really go like very deep with them, but yeah, we have doing it. We have done it a couple of times.
I feel like you're really good at the goon thing because, like, all your content, like, I know you have it just for fans or OnlyFans, and it's your
Just for
content.
fans.
And you're like gooning out on like these Zoom calls. It's
Yeah.
like a thing that you've been known to do. Like, you're like a gooning guy. And I remember when I posted that I was going to be talking to you, everyone was just like, "Holy shit, he's such a good gooner." And it's funny because a lot of people don't understand what a gooner is. So, can you explain to me in your words, what does goonie mean to you?
As I experiment gooning, it's like an almost meditative headspace that you reach out in a combo, like doing edging and also for me consuming poppers. It's like a very important part of my practice as a gooner. This is not for everyone. There are gooners that doesn't do poppers and they are like amazing, gifted, crazy gooners. But yeah, to me it is very helpful to, pop poppers to reach to that mental space, which you became like really uninhibited. Is that a word? Yeah.
Uninhibited.
Yeah, you just let it go, and you give yourself to the pleasure that penis provides, which is awesome.
No, I
And
totally agree.
you became like a like totally you reach like an almost animal state, I would say it. Like kind of primitive. Of course there's this also there's this very perfect performatic part about gooning, like the faces, the drool, yeah, like grunting and moaning. And but I think that's for me an essential part of the practice too. You just let yourself go and become one with your genital area.
I totally agree. Because the reason I asked that was because the Vice interview was asking me about all these gooning, like, those goon caps, like,
Oh yeah.
those media that people are like, "Oh, keep gooning and goon to buttholes," and all this like information, and they're just like, "Yeah, I show that to people. People don't understand it." And I was like, "There's really not much to understand. Like, it's just encouraging you to bait. It's a form of visual stimulation that's ultimately gonna get you turned on, which is only adding to They're like this goon state. And so I was like, you don't have to think about it too hard. Just admire what the image is making you feel. Like if you're making you feel horny, then go with it. But if it doesn't, then maybe that's not your cup of tea.
Yeah, I mean, it is part of the practice. As I was telling you, I don't think it's like an exclusive way of gooning, and you don't have to consume the same porn or the same images, or you don't have to get turned on by the same things that the other gooners do. But it's part of this universe and of this kink. And I do really like almost everything about the gooning culture. I think it's very entertaining and very visceral too. I don't know. It has been very freeing for me, seriously.
Yeah, I can see how it can be. I experience that too, especially when I go in and when I get to like a really heightened state. So when you mention like gooning being really primal and like animalistic, it's a very visceral reaction. It's not mental, if that makes sense. Like gooning is all really physical for me. Like it's just extreme pleasure. And you know the open mouth and the drooling, to me, those are all like byproducts of gooning. Like your body is just naturally responding to this really intense pleasure that you're giving yourself, and so then that's when you transcend it to a good state. And I often get asked, they're like, "Oh, how do you become a gooner? Like, how do you goon?" I'm just like, "It's practice, man. You just gotta keep going with it. Like, there's gonna be a point in your bait, especially if you're edging for long periods of time." Where the pleasure just becomes really intense. And you're no longer faking it. Like you're just completely your penis. Like you feel it all over your body. And I think once you hit that stage, that's when you're at the good, man. But that's different for everybody, right? It looks different for everyone. I always try to explain solo sexuality and gooner like as a spectrum. You can live on that
Totally.
spectrum anywhere that you want. Which is why it's so interesting to you, because it's like you have a partner, but you're still exploring this solo sex. How do you navigate that? Like, what conversations are you all having?
Well, I really went like full disclosure on January of this year. Well, not about the practices, because my partner already knew that I like to attend these Zoom groups, and that I had like a Bait World profile. But they didn't knew that I had a Twitter and that I was like a kind of big on Twitter. But on January, I had this invitation from Bait World to be part of the cast for the second season of the Bait Off. Great experience.
Yeah,
And
which is
when and
so cool.
yeah, and you know, I had to record 5 minute clips, and I live with my partner, so I just, I told him, I do this. I have been doing it for a long time. It's something that I really love. It is like, part of my sexual practice and hobbies. And they were like super cute and comprehensive, and as I told you, they were so excited about the contest, about everything. Yeah,
That's
it
really
has
cool.
been like really easy,
That's
actually.
nice. It's nice to hear though. Like I always enjoy hearing that partners are supportive of like their partner's, sexual identity. I don't have a partner, but I would think that I would like to be someone that could be as understanding as that, especially someone that's gonna be okay with like me showing off and like, doing essentially sex work. Had you always been interested in sex work, or did that come from getting more in tune with like your gooner self?
Yeah, definitely. It came from that place. And also, the beta was a huge catalyst for me. It was like the kick I needed to take a leap of faith and starting to produce content in a like a way of living practically.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and if you haven't all checked out BeatWorld, go to beatworld.com and check out the Bait Off series. It's basically a series where they invite guests to do different challenges, like different ways of masturbating, which I think is really cool because then it really showcases like, oh, you don't have to be a certain kind of masturbator. You can enjoy how you masturbate in all these different various ways, like milking yourself and doing it with a buddy, doing it online, right? I think there's so many different ways to actually practice masturbation. I don't think people give themselves enough grace or space to really say, oh, I can change positions, or I could do it standing up, or I could do it in a car where no one sees me. I don't want people to get arrested, but I mean, public masturbation is fine. Like, you can find like a discreet place to do that. That's fun too.
Yeah, totally. It was as you told, also it was like an opportunity, a very good opportunity to explore more ways of masturbating. For example, this mirror bait challenge was a total game changer for me. It was very interesting to like rediscover yourself through your reflection. It was like so erotic. I was very surprised at the end. And I shot a huge load in that occasion.
Wait,
Yeah,
had you never
I mean,
used a mirror before?
no, I've never. I mean, the camera, but it wasn't the same. It has like a more, it was like a more physical experience with the mirror, and talk to yourself, talk to your reflection, and encourage yourself and practically be your own porn. That was very eye opening, and I love all the challenges for sure. Some of them were more enjoyable and pleasurable to do than others, but I really like the challenge part of it, and to put on test my creativity also as a beta. Yeah, it was so much fun to do the bait off. I'm so happy to be invited and included. I also admire a lot to all my fellow contestants. They are great, all and each of them.
Yeah, no, everyone did a really great job.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I think mirror baiting is really cool. I can remember a time when I was masturbating. I never looked at myself masturbating. Basically, I have this perspective, right? You're just looking down at yourself, but you're missing all the other parts of you. And then I remember like watching the beta porn, watching these guys like use a mirror to jerk off, and I was like, I want to do that. Like, what is that going to feel like to me? And it was really awkward in the beginning because I was like, is that really what I look like having sex? Like, it's such a shock. You're like, what am I doing? Like, why do I look like that? Or why do I sound like that? Or why is my body moving that way? You become, I mean, for me, at first, I was really self-critical. And then when I continuously started doing it, that's when I really started to really observe my body. And you're just like, oh, I hadn't noticed that part of my body, or that part of me actually looks really sexy. I really like the way that looks. Did they do the same for you? Did you discover pieces about your body that you're like, oh, I really hadn't noticed that in that way? Or I really hadn't noticed my elbow being a turn on.
Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, you know, it's very weird because we don't really see ourselves too often, even if you know, have a mirror in your room or in your dressing room, and it's a completely different experience to do it naked and to masturbate to your reflection. Yeah, you for sure discover new angles. You discover that you like to see yourself touching in certain ways, or doing certain things, or doing certain facial expressions, or yeah, it's very interesting. But I think that is the beauty of masturbation, you know, that you really get to be very close of yourself. It's you, it's you with yourself, it's you interacting with your body, it's you interacting with your feelings and with your what turns you on and what turns you off. I think it is a very good also to get to know you better, physically and sexually. Yeah, I think it is a very valuable tool.
Yeah, I love mirrors. And also too, like, it really does, I brought up 2 points. It was one, you become more comfortable with seeing yourself as a sexual being. And when I say self, it's like all of you, right? Like being a person of color and like having dark hair and like having brown eyes. And so
curly you, hair. Well, yeah. Now it's very sure, but I'm very, very curly.
I'm extremely curly too.
It was
great for me because I could validate my own sexual identity through the lens of someone that's a person of color, right? Because you're constantly bombarded by like white bodies, especially in the gay community. We know it to be true. You know, good bodies are like white, male, cis, heteronormative looking people. And when you begin to showcase our sex, like every time I see you on my Twitter, it's like a revolution. It's like, oh, there's like this beautiful brown boy like showing off his sex identity, which you don't always see. And the same goes for like Black people and Asian people, that anyone that is aside from like this straight blueprint of what sex needs to be, the mirror helped me get more comfortable with that. And also too, like when I saw myself being really sexually aroused, I could see what my partners are seeing. Does that make sense? Like totally. In my mind, I was like, oh, this is what I look like having sex. So then I was like, oh, like it made me more cautious. Like, oh, maybe I shouldn't make that sound, or maybe I should look more pleased and pleasurable because it makes for a more positive experience. I don't know. It just helped me become more comfortable that way.
And it might, it's not a narcissistic way. I mean, in a way it is, but it's also like this validation exercise that you're mentioning, because in terms of representation, brown bodies, well, POC bodies are way less represented in media than hegemonic white bodies, you know, like muscular or really, really masculine bodies, like lots of hair. I mean, I'm very smooth myself. Well, except for the bush, but yeah, it's some sort of masculinity also. Like it's not only bodies; it's also like masculinity types that are very stereotypical. And yeah, for sure, to use a mirror, it's very self-affirming. It's a very self-affirming experience to masturbate in front of the mirror. So you should try it, you guys. If you're listening to this.
That's such a good perspective. Like that's exactly what I meant. Like, it's a very self-affirming, because you're continuously seeing yourself in this space. You're like, I could do this too. You know, for a long time, I just didn't think of myself as a sexual being because I just didn't feel like I fit this mold. And it was only when I started focusing on myself and really doing the research and investigating what solo sexuality was and what it meant to be in this community that I finally realized, I was like, anybody could be a masturbator. Like, if you have a body, you have a sexual body. You know, that goes across the board, whether you're disabled or not, whether you're a different color or not. I just feel like one of the more important lessons that I've learned being in this community is, like, it really is for anybody. And you don't have to be male identifying either. You could be female identifying and still be a masturbator, solo sexual. So that's a really great thing.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's one of the things that I've been enjoying, that I enjoy the most on this journey, that everyone is so freaking nice. Everyone is so supportive. Everyone is so loving and horny. but you know, the people is like really, really, it's really open to the otherness, I think. And that doesn't happen very much on gay culture. It can be like really mean. I think things have been changing in the last years, but there are still a lot of there's still a lot of body shaming, or if you don't look certain way, if you don't fit in certain box, you just can be part of a certain group. But the beta community, I think it's very, very open. I think it's very loving and caring, and you know, everybody is like your best cheerleader. Like, yeah, I don't know a single beta that is not like, you know, yeah, so open. I really love that about the beta community.
Yeah, you mentioned like the acceptance of otherness, and I think that's so true. Because I feel like when I do watch solo porn or when I watch my bros jerk off, like online, I'm really seeing them for who they are, right? Because I'm not focusing on this like sex scene. I'm focusing on you as a person, like as a masturbator. Does that make sense? And so, when I see, like, so we're all different types of masturbators. And so I'm becoming more attracted to this otherness of people, right? Whether they're really feminine, whether they don't, you know, whether they have an accent, you know, whether they are disabled, whether, you know, they are Black or they are Asian. I feel like allowing myself to simply focus on this individual, giving themselves pleasure, I take in all of that, and I'm not being distracted by this penetrative sex scene.
Like the perform. Yeah. It makes totally sense for me. I haven't think about it, but yeah, totally. You are seeing like the essence of the person, like their sexual essence, which is them, you know. Yeah. And no matter their body type or the color of their skin or the size of their penises. I mean, yeah, yes. Everybody's so freaking sexy.
I think we're really a sex positive community.
Totally.
And I think also too, like there's this vibe of like outsiders in our community, like since we're so outside of the mainstream of what sex is looks like, that we're so open to like all these other unique experiences. You know, I can get into like pup play, you know, furries, like you name it. Like there's like we're more inclined to experiment and branch out to other different kinks, because we're already in that space.
Totally.
And that's what I love about masturbators, because people will come to say to me some shit and I'm just like, I've never heard of that shit before. And I was like, oh, okay, well, cool. Like, I'm about it. Like, why don't you tell me more about it? And I think I've always been a curious person. Like, I love to lean in and ask questions and do my own research. You know, I really never really take anybody's word for it. But it's cool to meet people that are just like, oh, I'm so sexual, but I really love this other thing too. Do you find that a lot of people express new things to you?
Yeah, I think I think because of this persona that I've been creating on Twitter and on social media and Bait World, yeah, many fellas approach to me, and you know, sometimes they even ask for encouragement or advice, and yeah, or ask me about some other kinks or fetishes. And I think it's great. Yeah, I think we are a very, very sex positive community. And yeah, there's an openness to experiment with other kinks and some other stuff, for sure.
What's
Very keen to that.
the bather scene like in Mexico? A lot of bathers there?
Yeah. There are a lot of baiters. There are a lot of reunions also, like yeah, like bait meetings. We have also like this more institutionalized one, MX Jacks, which I think in New York there's also like NYC and yeah, NYC Jacks, and there's also one in Denver, and
There's one in LA.
yeah, and it's great. They do it in a bath in a bathhouse, which is very like convenient and comfortable. Yeah, the community is big, but it's also a very secrecy. There's a lot of secrecy about the practice still. Because there are a lot of also heterosexual identified males that assist to these things, so everything is very like private, and you know, I have a struggle to have like a group of friends here. But yeah, I think that will change, and that's why it is important to, not important, but it's inspiring to see people in the city doing this kind of having this lifestyle very publicly and in a very open way. I think that will eventually you know, encourage people to be more open about the practice. And I understand that there are some people that just cannot be that open about their sexual practices or lifestyle, but yeah, I think there's something that it will be changing with time, hopefully.
Yeah, totally. Well, that's cool. I should get down to Mexico and check out the bait scene. I always try to encourage people, like, even if they're having like even if they can't express themselves like publicly, or they can't be as open about their sexual identity as they would like, don't stop exploring it. Like, don't make that a sign that you should like quit it or like not go any further simply because it's not being accepted by whomever, your friends, your family, your partner. Like, I'm always encouraging people to be like, okay, well, like, keep it to yourself, but still explore it. Like, go in those avenues. You have a phone, you have privacy to a computer. Like, give yourself the space to still educate yourself on the matter and still allow yourself to express those feelings of like soloness, even if it's not like being accepted by the current situation that you're in. I think that's what trip people up. Like, it's just like, oh, I really want to do this thing, but I feel like I can't. Yeah, you can. You could do it by yourself. You could still like read books and watch films and listen to music. And there's all these different avenues. Just don't deny yourself, like, you know, your curiosity or the pleasure that you'll get from learning about these things.
Yeah, totally. It is part of who we are too. It's part of ourselves, and you should be able to keep knowing yourself better and to enrich your life with new experiences. Yeah, that's what means to be human and to be alive.
It enrich your life load by load.
Exactly. Stroke by stroke.
Stroke by stroke. I fucking love it. So, in preparation for this podcast, I sent out a tweet and I put it on Instagram and I was like, hey, people have questions that people want to ask us about anything soul sexual, masturbation, go ahead and ask us. And I got a couple. I picked out really two good ones. So, I'd like to read them. It's the part of the show that I like to call Yo Beastly. And so these are questions, and I didn't share these questions beforehand, so I want to get like a real authentic answer from you. Okay, cool. Here's the first one. Yo Beastly, I'm a 28-year-old male living in New York City, and in the last year or two, I've started to learn more about dating, and I feel like I am a bater. My gay friends, quote the bros, constantly ask me about the guys I'm dating and or having sex with. In the beginning, I would be honest and say none because I was enjoying jerking off more, but now it's getting really uncomfortable because it seems like I've become the butt of the joke in our group. They make little jokes here and there in group text messages and when we're out together at a bar or club. It makes me really uncomfortable and I've started not to hang out around them so much. They keep asking me why I don't come out as much and I find it hard to believe that they just don't get it. Do I tell them to stop? How do I let them know that I'm a bater without losing their friendship? Newbie, bater, tall guy, shy. Tall guy, shy. Huh. What do you think?
What do I think? It must be very difficult to be 20 years old and have the courage to be open about what you like and just being the joke of the rest of your friends. That must
Yeah,
be heartbreaking.
that's messed up.
It's kind of awful. I mean, I wish I had like the courage to speak about what I sexually like back then. Right now, I wouldn't take that shit from anyone.
Sure, yeah, I
But
say it.
I think, well, you maybe you have to find, like, your group or your family or your community. And that is difficult for sure. But well, we are out there. New York City is a place that is full of baiters. Some of them really, really nice. Some of them are really close to me too. So I would say reach out to other baiters and people that would understand. That doesn't mean that you can educate people, but I also I'm very lazy for that.
Oh,
You know, it's like
you just tell people to Google it?
oh my God. In a way, I think it's something that comes with age. You
Yeah,
just
I
don't
think. No, I
take.
agree. Yeah, you don't take people's bullshit at a certain age. Now, I think so too, but I also too think it comes with like confidence. Like I just don't feel this person is as confident as they want to be in their soul sexuality, and that's totally fine. It's gonna take time. Being the butt of jokes, like little jokes like that, it's not cool. Like you're grown people, you're 28 years old, like you're almost a 30-year-old person. Like this isn't elementary school. So you're an adult that is capable of setting boundaries. Like just tell your friends, like, hey, it's not cool that you're constantly making fun of me. Like this is a thing that I like. And if it's gonna be an issue, then we're just not gonna talk about it at all. And if this behavior continues, then you're not going to see me whatsoever. And if you feel like you can't have a friendship with me without making jokes, then maybe we can't be friends at all.
For sure.
I think it's totally fine to set your boundaries, let your friends know that they're acting a mess, and that jerking off is really cool, and that you shouldn't be doing those things. Without losing the friendship, I can't guarantee that. I mean, listen, if you vocalize your boundaries, all you can do is hold those people accountable to them. You can't really control how they react to those boundaries. So if they want to bail, if they're going to say like you're too weak or you can't handle a joke, then I would really take a step back and kind of really focus on the type of relationships that you want in your life. Personally, I want people that are going to be supportive of the shit that I do in my life. So I don't know. I'd probably tell those people to get lost if that was me. But that's just me. You make your own decisions.
Yeah, totally. I agree on that. I think that's a good approach to set boundaries. Maybe to try to, I don't know.
Get it out.
It is also maybe it is a way to start certain conversations. Some people can be curious, and you can show them off what you like, and you know what. Yeah, it can be.
That's interesting. Like people making jokes because they're actually really curious about the thing that you do.
Yeah, sometimes people react that way to things that attract to them, you know.
That's true. Yeah, you can always bring it, you can always throw it back and be like, what, don't, you all don't jerk off? Like, that's not a thing that you guys do. Bullshit. Like, I know you're jerking off on the daily. Like, what's the problem here?
Yeah,
We're all
totally.
jerking off. Yeah, good luck to you, tall guy. Okay, second question. Yo, BC. This is actually a really interesting question. I'm a straight guy and married to a woman for 6 years. We had our first child about 1 year ago, and ever since then, our sex life has been pretty bad. I wasn't prepared for having a kid. I guess no one really is, but it affected our sex. We've only had sex about 3 times since my kid's birth, which is a huge problem for me. I'm a very sexual guy. I need sex every day. I jerk off a lot. It wasn't a problem for her until I started watching a lot of porn. I love watching people have sex, but she's constantly on me about it. I tell her, if you don't want to fuck me, I'll just fuck my dick instead. I don't think that was the right thing to say, LOL. But how do we work this out? I gotta have sex and I love my wife and kid, and it feels like jerking off is keeping me satisfied in the marriage. Sincerely, Georgia Man 36. That's interesting. What are
Wow.
your thoughts? What are your thoughts on porn? Porn consumption.
You know, I think it's great. I mean, I do porn myself, so of course I love porn, and I'm very pro porn.
Yeah,
I'm
same.
a very pro porn person.
Yeah.
Of course, as everything, you should take care of yourself first, and if your life if your entire life it's been affected to your because of your porn consumption as any other substance content whatever, well you should prioritize your mental health and your well-being
Yeah.
for sure. Yeah, well, this case is very interesting and complicated.
It is complicated because I think it's like I can tell, I can sense that obviously he loves his family and he's not going to go anywhere. I mean, but sex is also important to him. And I think when I really think about this question, and it could probably be really difficult for him to express what he's feeling. I mean, men, and I'm generalizing because it's pretty much true. Men have a much more difficult time expressing how they feel about certain things. But I think here is a really great opportunity to like have a really deeper connection with his wife to say, hey, listen, you know, we really haven't been having sex that much. I love you. And I know that the porn bothers you. Get curious to be like, well, what's bothering you about the porn? Is it the type of porn that I'm watching? Is it the frequency? Is it just the fact that I'm watching other people have sex? Like, would you rather me jerk off to pictures of you, or like, can we make our own videos? There's so many different avenues that you could really take here. And I would say just get curious, man. Like, really talk it out and have a conversation and be like, you're two sexual adult beings. You miss the sex that you had before your kid. Your kid's gonna be there for a while, so it shouldn't deter you from having the sex that you want to have. But again, I think there's different ways that you can address it and you can compromise. But you need to find that core thing. Like, she's on you about watching porn. Why? Like, there's a reason why. And I don't think you've gotten to that reason yet. And I think if you just explore that together, I'm sure you can find like a compromise somehow, somewhere.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
totally.
everything.
It's all about being open to conversation. And for some people, conversations around sex are more complicated. And that's fine. We just should be open and receptive to the feelings of the other. More if you are in a relationship, that's key. Communication is key.
Yeah, totally.
So,
Yeah, no, I
yeah,
totally
I'm
agree.
very sure that if he have like a very deep conversation with his wife about what are his needs, and listen to her needs too, and what does bother her about the masturbation thing, they will be fine. Hopefully.
I think my final answer would be like, just make porn together. Like, make your own porn so then he's jacking off to her. You know what I'm saying?
That
Like, I think that's a
that's a
really funny compromise. Hell
that's a great advice. I mean,
yeah, dude. I mean, that's
yeah,
what I would do.
totally.
I'd be like, okay, if you don't want to watch me watch other people have sex, then I want to watch at least us have sex. Because I love watching myself have sex. Like, I record my own videos. I mean, I make porn too. So I'm like, I constantly watch it. You know what I really love to do? I love watching my own porn with other beaters.
Oh wow,
That's hot. Have you ever done
that's
that?
hot. That's hot. That's sexy.
Like, have you ever watched your, like, have you ever shown your bait and then watched it while someone's watching it with you? Try it. It's hot.
I have actually like
Nice.
I attend to a circle jerk about like 2 months ago, and there was a compilation on the TV. And suddenly I was there,
Nice.
yeah, like gooning, like all out gooning in front of all these other people, and it was very entertaining. Like somebody says, like, "Is that you?" And it was like, "Oh yeah, that's me. That's the real me."
It's always like a shock when someone sends you it. You're just like, oh yeah, there goes my cum shot. Awesome.
Me.
Well, cool. Well, hopefully they found those questions interesting and those answers helpful. Just don't stop. Don't stop doing it. That's at the end of the day, you may have hardships and some roadblocks, but like, when you go home, you're by yourself. You're doing your thing. So that's the kind of advice that I want to be able to give to other people that are struggling with masturbation. It's just like, it feels good. You're hurting no one. If it's not keeping you away from like your responsibilities, like your job, your family, your friends or whatever, curate those times for you and take the time to really have a good time with your penis.
Totally. I'm totally
No,
agree. Yeah.
I know
Yeah,
you
you
are.
know, the longest relationship that we will have is with ourselves. So,
No.
let's be happy. Masturbation is about being happy. Yeah, for me, it's all about being happy with yourself and your body and your sexual life and your sexual expression. And with your life in general,
Yeah.
it's very helpful. I think it is a very helpful practice to have a better life, a more happy life.
I love that. That's it. That's where we're gonna end this interview. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was such a great time talking to you.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, it was so much fun. Thank you.
Well, before you go, where can people find your stuff? Like, where are you on social media? Under what?
In social media, you can find me as Gunnar Mexican on Twitter, Mexican Gunnar on Instagram, and I also have a Just for Fans with long length videos, photos, everything. Also slash Gunnar Mexican, Just for Fans. .com/GunnarMexican, I think.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I'll have all that information in the description box so people can find you. People can say cool. Hello, follow his stuff. I think it's really great. He's all over the Bader community. And I want to thank you all for joining in the show. I hope you have this, you know, I hope you really enjoy this conversation. And it's the first time it's going up on YouTube, so I'm excited for people to watch us. and get to see who we really are as like real, fully realized people. It'll also be available on podcasts like Apple and Spotify, Google, and all those regular podcast places. So thanks again, Mexican Gunnar, for joining me and having this conversation. And I'm gonna see you around online.
Sure. Thank you. Sounds so good. Much.
All right. Bye, y'all.
See you.